You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out.
Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. Second one this month already. Yeah, it's the 2th of December. Unbelievable. It's got a lot of racket going on in here, so it's going to be a little while before it calms down. We had some birthday activity here tonight, and got kids all over the place and everything, so give it a few minutes and it ought to calm down to a dull roar where you guys might be able to hear me a little bit. So, okay, let me check and see what's going on in the chat room here. Looks like we got the Tinker Doc, his aviator. I need to stretch this thing out. Got some anonymous there. Pumpkin Cap, Peanut Rider, Northwest Heavy, Rights at Risk, T-Dog. Be some other ones bouncing in here in a little bit. Yeah, we've got all kinds of noise going on here. Okay, let's see. What happened? C7, traded your carry gun for the wife's, my G27 for the wife's 380 bodyguard. She wants 42. Yeah, that's okay. You should be thanking me, C7. Matter of fact, I had the opportunity to buy one here the other day, and just was trying to scrape up every penny to go to Washington. I had to pass it up. I had got a good price, so I think it was $3.99, I think it was. So I had to pass it up. Anyway, we are still got plans. Jason and I still got plans to make it up to Olympia. And we're, a matter of fact, I am trying to find motels and stuff up there tonight, actually, to see where we're going to go when we get there. So, and we've got a story that goes right along with that. Let me just a second. Let me check this just coming in here. Okay, that can wait. That's nothing important. It appears that I told you that this was not a Washington thing. It is an American thing. And I talked about other states that would be following suit here. Well, it looks like come out just... Actually, it's dated for tomorrow, so it's a brand new story. It just popped up about Nevada wanting to come up with this same type of initiative here, banning all private transfers. Let's see. Faces initiative that virtually ban all private sales of firearms and would require federal record keeping for all sales and transfers. And this is another one being promoted by Bloomberg and his bunch of communist freaks. And they're doing pretty well spreading their money around. Now, there could possibly be a problem with this. This group was required to turn in 101,667 valid signatures by the 12th of November of this year. And they claim to have got 247,000. Problem is, first place, these signatures haven't been validated. We don't know if they have that many or not. But the problem is, they were supposed to have turned them in on the 12th. And story has it here that they've turned it in on the 13th. They did also did not submit, as they required to each of Nevada's 17 county clerks on the same day. So that could be a problem. The guy said they have not finished checking 10 counties yet in northern Nevada, and they may find even more problems. So... the next deadline for certification process is Thursday, the 4th of December. So when the county clerks have finished going through everything and reporting any problems. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, this is not anything that the state of Nevada is doing. It is the fact that Bloomberg and everybody... his aviator, 42 slide, should stay open when it's empty. But fact is, they've got enough people there, or they claim to have. They claim to have enough people to get all these signatures, which is going to force the government to put this on the ballot, I guess. And whether or not it, you know, what they've got to, I imagine we're going to find in Nevada there's probably more good, solid conservative gun owners there than there are Bloomberg lovers. So I doubt that it'll fly, but just be assured that what I told you is a fact, that they will keep trying this in every state, or as many states as they can anyway. I don't think it'll fly in Arizona, but and probably won't do very well in Texas or some other states like that. But it's going to turn into a monumental problem here for some states. So we'll be that as it may. We'll let it go for now. Let's see what comes up here later on. I don't know if you guys have watched the news here, but there was an active shooter in Austin, Texas, Friday morning. They finally got the whole story in here. Active shooter opened fire on multiple buildings in downtown Austin Friday morning, shot and killed by a single bullet. Well, that's not so unusual. These active shooters often get shot and killed by a single bullet. Sometimes it's out of their own gun. This particular bullet came out of a Smith & Wesson M&P 40 caliber handgun of a police officer standing 104 yards away and holding the reins of two horses with his other hand. Can you say bad ass, Sergeant Johnson? Told now, I don't like this. I don't like this from the. Oh no, this is from the shooter. Okay, I'm sorry, from the cop. Sergeant Johnson told the chief that he credits divine intervention and that the other officers in the mounted patrol unit who were advancing on the shooter should get the majority of the credit. He described the shooter, the active shooter, as being heavily armed with two long rifle guns, including a .22 and an AK-47 style weapon. And anyway, the guy was wearing his, let's see, the officers rushed in to take the guy into custody. They discovered he was wearing a tactical vest and a backpack hydration unit, something that he says is an indication he was planning to continue the assault. Said when it comes to the 15-year veteran and supervisor of the mounted unit and his incredible shot, Acevalo, hang on just a second. Damn, so much racket in here. Okay. He said, holding two horses in one hand, taking one handed shot on the other, says a lot about the training and professionalism of our police department. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I applaud this officer. He done a wonderful job, made a great shot. But I don't know if I'd go so far as to bragging about the whole department about this. I'm going to guess, and I guess I'll be right, is this is one of those cops that spends time and his own money to go out and shoot and train and practice. And I'll bet you that there's not a whole lot of them on the force there that could have made that shot even remotely. And this guy, calm, cool, collected, humble, and just threw up his Smith & Wesson M&P 40 caliber and drilled this guy first shot at 104 yards. That's well done. I think that was awesome. So, anyway, let's move on here. Got lots of stuff. We've still got a long ways to catch up with everything that I need to do. Here is, I read a deal today And someone posted it on Facebook, and it's kind of an old deal. I mean, it's been posted before, and most of us in the know here, certainly the ones that listen to the Shooting Bench, realize this. But McDonald's is one of those that will not back off of their gun policy. They said that they require each of their stores to follow the company owned stores. There's a few privately owned franchises that the company has little to no control over, and so they are able to do what they want. But McDonald's as a whole, corporate wide, follows the rules of the state that their store is in, just as Walmart does, and quite a few other stores as far as that goes. And McDonald's, you can say what you want about their food and everything else, you know, and I'm not a big fan of McDonald's, but they are standing up for their rights, or for our rights, you know. But in Walmart here, a judge has ordered Walmart to allow shareholders to vote on gun sales. Now, this has nothing to do with carrying in the store, at least not yet. But a federal judge has ordered Walmart to let shareholders vote on a proposal for tighter oversight for selling firearms with high-capacity magazines and other potentially offensive products. Do high-capacity magazines offend any of y'all? Or, oh, maybe they mean offensive. Yeah, instead of offensive. Offensive. What are you looking for? Anyway, the U.S. District Judge ruled last week in favor of Trinity Church, which filed the lawsuit in April after the retail giant refused the proposal, and the Securities and Exchange Commission said it would not punish Walmart for excluding it. So this is a guy out of the District of Delaware, appointed by Obama, imagine my surprise, also said Walmart wrongly excluded the church, a major shareholder, at its annual meeting on June 6th. He granted Trinity an injunction preventing the company from excluding the proposal from proxy materials for its 2015 meeting. So there's a little more to the story, but that's the crux of it right there. So Walmart has been forced now to allow the shareholders to vote on whether or not they want to sell AR-15s. And it says, although Walmart does not release sales figures for firearms, the Time Business estimates Walmart sold between 1,700 and 1,800 guns a month in 2013 from its nearly 4,000 stores nationwide, a third of which carry AR-15 rifles. So they're going to put the quietus on high-capacity magazines and certain types of firearms. So not gun-related at all, but some of you have little miniature Walmarts in your areas called Alco. Well, it looks like Alco is pulling the plug on the whole deal. They're shutting down 197 stores and nationwide, and I think that pretty well wipes them out. We had one here. There's one in Bloomfield. C7 can probably tell you that one's going to be going out. And keep an eye on it, C7. There'll be some big sales coming up here in a few more days. They've got a bunch of stuff on sale now, but it's, you know, 10, 15, 20% off. Not a big deal. Not worth wasting a trip for. But I'm going to keep an eye on the one over here in St. John's. And it's, they've already started their sale, and they're going to be shutting down. So just in time for Christmas, they picked a good time to shut down the store there. So, let me grab another one here. This, we may have talked about this already, and a lot of this is Thursday night stuff, but there's just so much of it that I just can't pass it up. I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but I don't want to hurt anything to go over it again. It says that they, Americans bought guns at a record-setting pace again last Friday. And they were, they said the Xboxes, iPhones, and everything else there took a back seat to guns. Said the typical Black Friday boom in gun sales doubles the number of background checks handled by the FBI's NICS check system from 1 per second on an average day to 2 per second. On Friday afternoon, that figure reached 3 checks per second. Now, you know, that's 33%. It doesn't 1 3 per second up from 2 per second may not sound all that great. But when you look at the percentage of it and look at these numbers, it says this puts 2014 on track to blow past the prior Black Friday record of 144,758 transactions processed in a single day. The let's see, FBI, where's the other numbers here? The FBI told CNN roughly 2% of Black Friday background checks will likely not be completed due to insufficient information. So the FBI completed 21 million background checks in 2013, said 1.1% of those checks resulted in a denied gun purchase. So I'm not convinced that 1.1% justifies my rights being infringed upon. Let's see. The I tell you what, Norprey is out there. He says he's using a Mac tonight. He's been unable to get into the chat room. And he's bought a number of the I Will Not Comply bumper stickers for the rally that we're going to. Norprey is an awesome individual. He supports these rallies in our effort, not just with his mouth, but he puts his money where his mouth is. If he can't do other things, then he is able to support by, you know, donations and buying t-shirts and bumper stickers and whatnot. So he says he'd be glad to send some out to some of the brothers and sisters who support me and liberty in general. So I'm not sure exactly what the guidelines are for that, but he'll probably weigh in here in a minute and let me know what he's talking about there. So anyway, hold that in the back of your mind there for just a second. Let's see here. We'll forget that one. Here you go. Here's another great story about a 45. And yeah, I know. It could happen with any caliber, and there's as many one-shot stops with 9mm as there are 8-shot non-stops with a 45. It could happen with any caliber. I just find it amusing sometimes the 45 aficionados see these stories and say, no, that couldn't happen. This guy was shot 8 times with the 45. And survived. He's now a evangelist or something out there. He's a preaching the word now, and you can't hardly blame him. Anyway, he said the musician recalled how a man approached him as part of a gang initiation, pulled out a 45 caliber from inside his jacket, shot him 8 times at close range before leaving him for dead. He had a leather jacket on, a hoodie. He pulled it out and pointed at me and shot it. He said, when I first saw the flash, I didn't know I got shot. But anyway, he says he saw angels, and I don't doubt that. A bit. And he survived despite all these injuries. He was managed to call 911 And the doctor said they were a little skeptical about whether he survived, but they put him in surgery anyway. And he says, I remember looking, as I'm getting ready for surgery, I remember looking and seeing this angel that was on the street, and the angel that was kind of like had his arms crossed and so on and so forth. So we'll see. This is, let me check here and see. Yeah, brand new story. So we'll kind of try to keep an eye on that and see what he does with his new life, with his new lease on life there. I think that's important. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a little break here. And let me find something that... stand by just a minute. You know what? I think I'm going to play this just because I need a few minutes. I've got some things I need to do here real quick. So we're going to do this, and I'll be back.
Greetings from Anonymous. The United States government is seeking to end the Constitution. This will endanger the American people, and we will not stand by and watch while this government of deception prepares to rip away from us all of the freedoms that our forefathers granted us. The freedoms that were fought for, bled for, that our ancestors died for. We must ensure that blood was not shed in vain, that their lives were indeed lost for a great nation that is not yet lost. We refuse to let the United States government destroy our way of life. The United States government insists on labeling us as terrorists. The question is, who do we terrorize? Is it probable that the United States government is truly afraid of we, the people? Nevertheless, the time for action is now. It is time to remind the government that we, the American people, are the ones who hold the power of this country, not them. The American people have realized that the current government is no longer functional. Our economy is unstable, our representatives uncooperative, and our system destroyed. We are not calling upon the collective to deface or use a distributed denial of service attack on a United States government agency website or affiliate. We are not calling upon the people to once again occupy a city or protest in front of a local building. This has not brought on us any legislative change or alternate law. It has only brought us bloodshed and false criticism. For the last 12 years, voting has been useless. Corporations and lobbyists are the true leaders of this country and are the ones with the power to control our lives. To rebuild our government, we must first destroy it. Our time for democracy is here. Our time for resolution is here. This is America's time for revolution. To restore our constitutional rights. To once again be free. Therefore, Anonymous, along with the American people, have decided to openly declare war on the United States government. This is a call to arms. We call upon the citizens of the United States to stand beside us in overthrowing this corrupted body and call upon a new era. We refuse to be police state. We refuse to be brutalized and dehumanized by the very people our tax dollars fund to protect our cities and streets. We will not allow the government to control our destiny, our right to build a life for ourselves. We demand freedom from government control, taxation, repossession, and death. You will not come to our doors and take our guns, our property. You will not force the citizens of this great country to participate in the unlawful act of government-mandated health care. We, the people, refuse to put in your control our health, our bodies, our minds, our lives. We will not grant permission for the government to deploy drones over our homes and communities. We must end the Federal Reserve. A private central bank should not issue our currency, set interest rates, and run our economy. Rather, we need to return control over the currency to the American people where it belongs. You, the United States government, have overstepped your privileges for the last time. Our peaceful actions, patience, and restraint have been demonstrated as we watched and waited for our Congress and representatives to speak for the American citizens and protect us from the tyrant that sits in the Oval Office and happily strips the American people of our rights. One by one, executive order by executive order. We have waited long enough. The Declaration of Independence establishes the supremacy of the people and the right and duty to defend the rights of the people over the acts of the government. Our Constitution provides for as many protections as possible to ensure that the government is subservient to the people and only exists for the purpose of serving the people. However, should these protections fail, it is up to the people to rise up against the government and to put the government back in its place. In this capacity, the people act as the fourth branch of government to take control and to override their decisions that violate the fundamental rights of the people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By what means do the people exercise their authority over the government? That depends on how resistant the government is to complying with the will of the people. In the case of the Declaration of Independence, it meant declaring war on the government and overthrowing them. This is obviously a last resort after taking other steps less harsh. Have we not tried? It is clearly the right and the duty of the American people to overthrow the government in order to restore the United States as a government to serve the people. This is clearly established in historical precedent. This is that time. We have exhausted every other option. Our government has ignored us. We must take action to ensure our freedoms. When the government violates the Constitution, it is the duty of the people to rise up against the government to bring them back into compliance with the Constitution. Our allegiance is not to the government. Our allegiance is to the American people, because they are us, and we are them. We the people have both the power and the responsibility to maintain our government in a manner that best serves the people in the pursuit of life, liberty, freedom, and the citizens of America. You are not alone. There are millions beside you. You will know when it's time. When the government attacks your words, we fight with voice. When the government attacks your guns, we fight with our weapons. To the Small Arms Treaty, you will not remove the Second Amendment on July 27, 2012. We are anonymous. We are Americans. We never forgive. We never forget. We will fight for our rights. To the United States government, it's too late to expect us. Operation American Freedom engaged.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back, and I got a little clarification for you. Norprey sent me a clarification on what he meant there. He has the bumper stickers. He's not giving them to he's not giving them to just anybody. He's going to send a bumper sticker for the I Will Not Comply rally to those that support the shooting bench and my efforts to get up there, and certainly the efforts for the stuff we do for the show. So that's what he's doing. It's, and if you want to partake of that, then let us know here, and I'll give you his email address, or I'll give him yours, or one or the other, and see. So anyway, for those that do want to do that, that have that are able to, I know it's just about Christmas time and everything, and it's pretty tough, and I sure don't blame anybody at all for not being able to. It's a tough time, and it's a bad time of year. But if you're able to and want to, just go to theshootingbench.us and click on the store, the online store there. And down towards the bottom of that one, one of the last items there says donation, and it allows you to choose a incremented denomination to would like to send to help. And it's just that simple. All you got to do is click on it. And as a matter of fact, I'll put another way that we don't use very often, but it still works because we got a few listeners that use this routinely to help support the Shooting Bench. So I'll stick this one in the chat room. RAT right now for you. Stand by just a second. There we go. Alright, there you go. There's another way to do it. Let's see. What's C7 talking about up here? The Peanut Rider, I like your idea of a Hall of Points filled with smallpox virus. Yeah, it's a very, very lethal round. That's right. but Doc is absolutely, absolutely correct, though, when he starts talking 12-gauge. Let's see. Hopper's talking 12-gauge here. That's just about as sure-fired lethal as you can get right there. C7 says he's made up his mind on the G19, G17. I'm set on round count versus impact damage. So just was hoping for a bit more explanation so I can tell young people around. The 45, C7, I think you took class from me out there in New Mexico. Well, I know you did. And we also talked about it several times on the show. There's nothing wrong with the 45. It just doesn't have the magic that some people say that it does. Between the 40, the 9mm, and the 40 Smith & Wesson, and the 357 Magnum, as far as that goes. Out of those four calibers, there's not a nickel's worth of difference in the stopping potential of any one of them. You go from 91% to 96% in the four calibers there, and the bad guy is never going to know the difference that there's 5% spread between the 9mm and the 40 Smith & Wesson. So you get whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you want to carry, and you get the right kind of ammunition. And I guarantee you, any one of those four calibers will do everything that you think you're man enough to do. They are all basically, you know, for all intents and purposes, they're equal fight stoppers. So the T-Dog, I understand, buddy. That's not a problem whatsoever. The 45, 357 Magnum, and the 40 Smith & Wesson are all three at 94% for the 45, and the 357 Magnum and the 40 Smith & Wesson are both tied at 96% in actual shootings. And the 9mm is not that far behind at 91%. So I'm a pretty big fan of the 9mm, actually. Yeah, Peanut Rider, I don't even want to talk about the using that damn 357. The SIG or the Magnum, as far as that goes. The 357 Magnum has an awful, ugly muzzle flash and blast there. But I got nothing bad to say. You've heard me say it a dozen times about the 9mm. You got a good high capacity, low recoil, good potential for making repeated, follow-up shots, you know, accurate follow-up shots. So there's no downsides to it, regardless of what the some of the guys out there will tell you. The 40, yeah, it's on paper, it's slightly better than the 45. Not on paper. In actual shootings, it's 2% better than the 45, 5% better than the 9mm. I like the 40, but it's more personal preference than having any actual scientific. Good night, Pumpkin Cat. Having any good scientific evidence to back it up, it's just strictly personal preference. One of my biggest things about the 40 caliber is the fact that all of its bullets, all of its full metal jacketed bullets, are good wide flat points. There was a little discussion, and I failed to see who started the discussion. I haven't been able to find it again on Facebook, about guys saying, some guy had written a story about using full metal jacket for his service, for his carry ammo. Ha ha ha, you stupid idiot. Yeah, it's dumb. Well, not really. It depends on the round that you're shooting. What time of year it is, what your potential distances will be. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go in there. And, you know, you could push that far enough and say that the Glazer safety slug would be the best, absolute, fastest fight stopper, one-shot stopper killer in the world. But will it penetrate effectively a Carhartt jacket and a checkbook and a pack of cigarettes before it gets into the body? No, it won't. It'll start coming apart as soon as it gets into some of that stuff, and by the time it gets to the body, you're talking about a pretty serious flesh wound there, but grossly unlikely that anything is going to get deep enough to make a real serious problem. So, and C7, right, the full metal jacket, go through coat and shirts and all that stuff, and still have, now this is one thing where the 9mm sucks hind tit. This is the 9mm, it takes a back seat to everything else here, because of its small diameter, and virtually all 9mm, until you get up into the heavier stuff. There's a few that have flat points, but it's a very narrow, small diameter flat point. So that's where the 40. That's probably my biggest reason for liking the 40 more, is if I need to use full metal. Notice I say need to. I choose to use hollow points in my 40. My second magazine, my backup magazine, is full of full metal jackets, but they are good 180 grain wide flat points. That would have BB Brenner just chimed in there somewhere, and that's exactly how you get the benefits of a wad cutter. Some of the benefits, not quite as much as a wad cutter, but what the wad cutter does, or a semi wad cutter, is it removes tissue, making a nice drilled hole through the body, which leaves a freely bleeding wound on both sides, which sucks air on both sides. The round nose full metal jacket simply slips in there, tissue closes up behind it, very little blood on either side, and not a lot of damage in the middle. You know, it's a paper shooting target mostly. So, a paper shooting a bullet. So that is why, and only why, I really like the 40 better than the 9. If I've got my choice of hollow point bullets, then I have no problem shooting the 9. Where I'm going to have a problem with it is if I have to use full metal jackets against heavy clothing or vehicles, you know, automobile glass and stuff like that. The 40 clearly is going to be the winner there. Let's take one question at a time. C7, what is a wad cutter? Wad cutters are cylindrical bullets. They're flat on both ends. Their caliber diameter all the way through. They look like a little canister, and you seat them down flush with the case mouth, so that the loaded case is no longer than an empty case, give or take a few thousandths. They're made primarily for .38 specials. And they are a target round. They are very, very accurate at moderate ranges. and they make it easy to score your target because it makes a perfect, it like a paper punch, like a hole punch, and it cuts out a perfect round diameter hole so that you can score them real easy. The semi-wad cutter, now I know you've seen semi-wad cutters. They're similar, except the nose sticks out a little bit. There's a flat, kind of a conical shaped nose, and then it goes down to the full diameter wad cutter. And you might look that up as a Keith style bullet, named after Elmer Keith. The Keith style was a semi-wad cutter. There's lots of semi-wad cutters out there. There's a few of them that are jacketed, and they're okay. They're for what they're for. I've used semi-good hard semi-wad cutters for hunting bullets. They work very well. They're good killers. They're good humane hunting rounds, and they very much will drill through there, and they don't do a whole lot of tissue damage inside. But like I said, you get a wide open hole with blood that flows freely from both sides, which allows air to suck in also from both sides. So it's a good stopper. Or I should say a good killer. It's not a great defensive round. It's a good killer, not necessarily a great immediate stopper. What bullet weight do I recommend? Well, his Aviator, you know, we're kind of, the 124 grain gives you a little more energy, and it's probably, I kind of struggle with that because the 115 grain gives me quite a bit more energy. I mean, more velocity. But I get more energy. So, yeah, it's 6 one way and half a dozen the other. I like the velocity because you need the velocity to make the bullet work to perform properly. This has been the problem forever with the 45 ACP is it's just too damn slow. And they've never had a really good functional hollow point up until just the last few years that opened up at those low velocities. So I don't want to neuter the 9mm by reducing those velocities down to 1,000 feet or less and not get the expansion also that I would like. But you do get the energy. The 124 grain 9mm is a great penetrator. And if you reload, you can load those 124 grains up to a plus P velocity. It's not anything that I'd want to run a steady diet through, you know, all the time. But certainly in a good sturdy gun and certainly in the Glocks, you know, you can shoot as many of them as you want. And that would be the best of both worlds there. And then you go up into the 147 grain. You know, it's funny, there's not too much in between the 124s and the 130s, I mean the 147s. I have seen, and I still have some, as a matter of fact, some 130 grain hollow points for the 9mm, but you don't see them very often. Peanut Rider, 8 grains of Blue Dot, yeah, great load for the 115 grain bullet, great load. However, I'm a little more partial to 5.5 grains of 296. It's much cleaner than Blue Dot and gives me about the same velocities. Give me 12, 1250, depending on which gun I'm shooting it out of, and extremely clean, very, very clean powder. But other than that, yeah, the Blue Dot, that 8 grains of Blue Dot, I have used it. As a matter of fact, I even have some shells loaded for it right now, that very load. And I've had good luck with it. It was good and accurate. Had no problem, just a little dirtier than the 296 was. Hey, there's Aaron just checking in. Good to see you there, Aaron. The... Yeah, and you know, Doc's got a good point there. If you don't know your gun well, or it's not broken in, you're forced to carry it right away without it being broken in properly, and enough that you know how well it works, then carrying a good hollow point in the chamber, and then just to be sure, if you don't know your gun, then some good full metal jackets following it up for reliability purposes. And that's not bad advice at all. Of course, with depending on your gun, with mine, I don't care. Hollow point, full metal jacket, doesn't make a bit of difference. It feeds everything anytime, all the time. But that's certainly a good point, especially if you have borrowed a gun, or if you have just purchased a new gun or something like that and you're not sure of it, then I think that's good advice. Chamber your, get your first round off with a good hollow point, and hopefully that'll be the fight stopper, and then follow it up with full metal jackets. Aaron, you missed some good discussion here tonight. Yeah. But anyway, we're glad you made it in here for a little bit. Okay, let's see here. I, C7, I'm not, and who else up there? That was Peanut Rider. I'm not a tremendous fan of the XTP. It's a remarkably accurate bullet. It's very consistent, works really well. It's a good hunting bullet, but it seems to penetrate a little better than it expands, which makes it an awesome hunting round. That's exactly what I was using with my 10 millimeter when I shot that that little mule deer out at 112 yards, and it performed admirably. I tell you what, it was excellent. But there's several others out there that will expand a little faster than they penetrate, and that's what I'd prefer to have for for self-defense. Let's see what Aaron's got going on here. He heads up the reloading powder to be had at a company below if you've been having a hard time finding powder. Let's see. What are we looking at here? High Tech. It looks like High Tech is the company, I guess. Okay. High Tech looks like they've got some powders out there. 845. 845 is a great powder. Number 5 pistol powder. Okay. All right, good deal. Peanut Rider, after I said that about the blue dot, my comments there were directed strictly about the 9mm. I much prefer blue dot for my 40s and my 10mm. I shoot blue dot or another powder called True Blue, and those are my absolute hands down, no questions asked, no compromise. That is my two favorite powders, blue dot being the best of the two. And I use 8.5 grains of blue dot in a 40, and 180 grain bullets, I get a little over 1,000 feet a second out of them, and it does a fine job. And I put 13 grains, I believe it is, in my 10 millimeter, and out of 180 grain bullets, I get a little over 1,300 feet a second out of them, 1,310, 1,325, something like that. Awesome hunting round. It's a great, great woods gun. Okay, let's see here. I've got so many stories here to do in so little time. So let's do this real quick. This is not a gun-related thing, but it pisses me off to no end. You guys, I'm sure you've seen on the news what the St. Louis Rams did as they come onto the field. Unbelievable. How disrespectful and how arrogant and despicable are these idiots. I would hope that everybody out there would boycott anything that has to do with the with the St. Louis Rams. If you didn't see it on the news, there was five of them that come running out of their little man cave in there, whatever you call it, with their hands up in a surrender position in support of Michael Brown, in support of the protesters. They could not believe it. It absolutely blew me away. But anyway, let's get back here and see. I just saw something that scared me to death here. Peanut Rider, you said you never heard of using 296 in a 9mm. Yeah, me neither. And I would say don't look into it. If I said 296, I'm sorry. I meant 231. If I said 296, please disregard. I didn't mean to say that. That would be a very unwise choice. Yeah, 231 is an excellent, excellent powder for the 9mm. Casper Mountain, I don't really care. 165s and 180s, when you're getting up into something that heavy, you know, 15 grains one way or another doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I do get a little better velocity out of the 165s. If I need the energy for something, you know, it just doesn't really matter. I shot both of them out there at 100 yards, and their trajectory is virtually identical. And other than having just a little more energy with the 180s, I would say, you know, my point of aim, point of impact is virtually identical with both of them. So I don't really care. It's whatever's what happens to be on sale. I guess what I have a whole bunch of stocked up on is I've got lots and lots of 180 grain XTPs that I stored back from my 10mm, which certainly they'll work just as well in the 40. But most of what I have put back from my 40 are 165s. So it doesn't really matter. That's mostly a personal preference thing there. Doc using 2400. 2400 is a little dirty. I never did warm up to that. I never did like 2400 at all. 296 is my thing for the 44s and 357 as far as that goes. If I can't load 296, I'm going to be reluctant to load at all. I dearly, dearly love 296 for both of those calibers. I use, if I remember right, I believe it was 16.5 grains with 158 grain 357s. And 23.6 grains is what I used of, and of course I found out later 24 grains really didn't make a hell of a lot of difference, but 23.6 grains of 296 with 24 grain or 240 grain 44 Magnum. I have shot thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of 240 grain hollow points, or 240 grain soft points, 240 grain full metal jackets, over 23.6 grains of 296. You cannot possibly go wrong with that load. BB burner, no, I have not seen such a thing that you're talking about there. So you'll have to enlighten me with your wisdom there. I don't know what you're talking about. The for those of you that don't know, 296 is absolutely identical in all things except packaging with H110, I believe it is. I'm pretty sure it's H110. Is absolutely the very, very same thing. You use the same powder, same primer, same. And so you don't need to, you say, well, I don't know, I've never tried that before, I don't know. Just do it. It is exactly the same thing. So, okay, we've been muttering and carrying on here. I want to remind everyone about the rally coming up, and also about the on the 14th and 15th, there will be a personal defense handgun 2 class being held just outside of Olympia. And that class is getting, we're getting more people signed up in it. We have a very special combat medic class here in Vernon on the 27th and 28th of December. Screaming price that I won't even mention on the air. You'll have to call me to get a price on that. And this was a one-time deal. I guarantee you, you will never see it at this price again. I can virtually promise that. And if you've ever wanted to take this class, now would be a mighty fine time to jump in on it. And that's the last two things we have going right now, unless something happens to pop up here unexpectedly. That's the last two classes that we got here until the end of the year. First of the year, we're going to get going with more handgun classes here locally, and we are pushing hard to get classes out on the road. So if you've got people interested in your area, that in any of the classes that we offer, as long as we can get enough of them interested, enough of them signed up to make it worth the trip, I really have no interest in crossing the Mississippi River the way things are going nowadays. That's pushed it awfully hard to get me that far away. I would much rather stay with, as bad as I hate it, I'll go to California for some classes. Nevada, Arizona, I'll go to Texas without any problem. New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Oklahoma, Kansas, the Dakotas, and Montana and Wyoming, and Idaho. So that's kind of where I'd like to stick with if I have to. Let's see, anything in the Four Corners area? The somebody asked a while ago if I had my FFL yet. I have not. But we have just made arrangements to get a new shop, a small shop. And when we are actually moved into that shop, I need to get some pictures of that, because that's what I'll have to get the FFL again, the picture of the storefront. So we are working on that, and we should be moved into that shop by the end of this month. And I hope to have the paperwork in the mail before the end of the year, along with all the stuff. So by February, we should be back in business with an FFL. So the BB Burner, I don't know what you're talking about. The last what in Sholo was hard to find. Making an air star. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. The shop. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm not going to push we're not going to push retail too much on this. Actually, we're not going to push it at all. Most of what we do will be through the online store, and most of what we're going to do is be gunsmithing and training and the Glock work and stuff like that. I'm going to try to stay away from retail as much as we can. No, T-Dog, we are not moving again. Not for at least two more years. So we'll see what happens after that. And that's right, BB Burn. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So anyway. All right, so that's all the stuff that's coming up here. When we get the shop going again, we'll get going hard with the Glock work and all that kind of stuff. So the... Aaron, that's right. If the barbecue is good enough, you can bet I will be there. And, you know, up to where you're at is not that hard of a drive. You know as well as I do that I absolutely despise going into that state, but I will because my lovely bride's got family there, and that's just part of what we have to do. But we could... anywhere from, anywhere in California as far as that goes. So we could get some classes going. Okay, I'm starting to ramble here again, so I think what I need to do is find a stopping point here and get the hell out of Dodge, and I will see you all tomorrow, and I appreciate you hanging in with me. It's been a fun discussion tonight. Good night. Whoops, wait.
Nobody knew.
Stop. What in the world are you doing? Let's try this again. Jeez, oh Pete, here we go. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on the Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom. Thank you.